Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
What's going on? This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. I'm so glad you're joining us today. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Today is episode 177, Mario Kart 8.
I am so excited for this episode. Guys, Mario Kart 8 came out in 2014. It was one of the strongest soundtracks of that year. But really, in some ways, I would consider the official soundtrack to be 2015 because it was just released over the summer and it includes some of the DLC music, which was released in 2015.
Right. So you could say, yeah, the soundtrack really was completed in 2015 when
correct.
The final amount of DLC was released.
So it's still a very current soundtrack to feature on. And I love doing these spotlight episodes where we get to play music from one particular game. And it's always a treat when it's a modern game because for the most part, I would say our spotlight episodes consist mostly of like SNES games, N64 games,
right.
Kind of classic games like that. But it's really fun whenever we can do a modern game. And this really is one of the best Nintendo soundtracks, in a while. Tropical Freeze was also a great one recently. Obviously, 3D World was excellent. In general, we're just hearing a lot of really solid Nintendo soundtracks that really seem to have a lot of purpose and kind of thought and care put behind them, especially when you're talking about real performance, which is something that I love to keep talking about on this podcast,
right.
That these modern Nintendo soundtracks, they keep wowing me just from, a perspective of having all these real players.
Well, and I think that particularly wowed me when I realized that they brought back a lot of those musicians for the DLC. And that was one of the highlights, actually, of the downloadable content of Mario Kart 8 is that...
I agree.
Because just a little fun fact is, if you are unfamiliar, the DLC that we're talking about is kind of special because it's not just, new Mario Kart levels. It's new Mario Kart levels that include locations and characters from other Nintendo franchises like Animal Crossing, Legend of Zelda,
similar
and F-Zero.
Similar to like something like Smash Brothers does.
Right.
You know?
Except it's in this sort of consistent Mario Kart style. And I think this game is particularly a big deal to Carl and myself because, we love the early Mario Kart soundtracks, like Super Mario Kart by Soyo Oka, Mario Kart 64 by Kenta Nagata, the earlier ones. And I think we like maybe the Game Boy Advance one. But after that, to me, really, the music takes a strong dip downhill.
It's a nosedive for sure.
And so I think it was just so shocking and surprising to me that for Mario Kart 8, they put this much money and effort into making such an impressive...
Once I heard that there were going to be real performers, I knew it was going to be good. Because just knowing, what it's like to arrange music for people and to write out parts and to have all those other people involved, you're not going to give them some crappy little thing that you just kind of pooped out on the computer. You're going to actually take the time to write something worthy of those people coming in. They have to come into the studio. They're being paid to have, I don't know how many hour-long sessions... You know what I'm saying? So the more people that are involved and the more money that is involved in a project, obviously that's not always the case, but really sometimes it can lead to better music and a more thoughtful work.
Well, I think thoughtful is important because in order to do this, they had to ask themselves questions like, what is the Mario Kart sound and how would it translate to real musicians? And the fact that they decided to go with this kind of jazz big band sound was sort of a product of that thoughtfulness. Of them going through the history of the series music and trying to find some common threads and really where it all started off. And it does seem fair because I think my favorite parts of this soundtrack were actually the remixes of old Mario Kart tracks, and the ones that sounded the best were Super Mario Kart, Mario Kart 64, and Mario Kart Super Circuit, the ones that have that sort of big band sound inherently.
Yeah. It's so good. And it should be noted that not every single track in the game features real instruments. There are some tracks that have virtual instruments, but you don't really notice it because... those tracks, for the most part, are probably going to be a little bit more frantic and kind of zany. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, the instruments always fit the track.
Well, and I think even as far as the VSTs were concerned, I found it to sound a lot better than it had previously. I mean, obviously compositionally, but just as far as the nature of those instrument samples were a little bit more high-end than like in Mario Kart 7.
And then also, I will say that before we get into it, the weaker tracks in this soundtrack would be some of the best in, Mario Kart 7. So the weaker tracks aren't atrocious, but the good tracks are really, really good. And the playlist today is absolutely jam-packed. We're playing 20 tracks total today, so we had to cut some good stuff, but everything in today's playlist is really good. The last shout out, the only, to my knowledge, DLC track that we're not playing today I cut it just because we featured it recently, was that wonderful Animal Crossing medley. We're doing all the other DLC music, and that's, it's such a good track that you guys, if you haven't heard that, check out that track. We played it recently on, I think it was maybe a Show and Tell or a Racing Games 3 episode, I think we featured that. So that's a wonderful track. But you guys heard up top the title screen to Mario Kart 8, and that was composed by Atsuko Asahi. So now we finally have the individual breakdown of who did what track. All the composers of this game are Atsuko Asahi, Shiho Fuji, Ryo Nagamatsu, and Yasuaki Owada, as well as Kenta Nagata was also involved and did some arrangement for a few of the tracks.
It's funny, a few of those names are very familiar returning Nintendo composers. Mm-hmm. So I think your point about the whole budget and the scope of this project forcing them to step up to the plate, I think is probably accurate.
I think so too. So now we're going to move on to Mario Kart Stadium, which is really kind of the main theme, the biggest kind of brand new, I would say, piece of music in the game. It's used in multiple different tracks, different arrangements. It's also harkened back in the credits. This one was composed by Yasuaki Owada. Let's take a listen to Mario Kart Stadium. Perfect first stage theme. This is Mario Kart Stadium from Mario Kart 8, composed by Yasuaki Owada. Just a very strong reminder that, okay, this is a new game. This is a new Mario Kart, and it finally, musically, it's matching how impressive the whole game is. It's a super right. fun game. The graphics look awesome. We finally get an HD Mario Kart, and we get an HD Mario Kart soundtrack in a lot of ways.
The game is very much sort of out of this world. It features all these really fun anti-gravity mechanics, and it's just a total blast. You know, if you're a fan of the Mario Kart series, the game really has that sort of consistent, fun, whimsical nature that it always has. And I totally agree that this is such a great track to start off with, because it absolutely gives you that wonderful sense of Mario Kart. I think it's particularly satisfying to hear something that sounds like Mario Kart compositionally, yep. but is also good. It's amazing. It feels like the composers of this game looked at some of the bad Mario Kart soundtracks, mm-hmm. took some of the attributes and quirks associated with it, and wrote new pieces of music
that
were really good.
This doesn't sound anything like Soyo Oka or Kenta Nagata. It sounds like Double Dash or like Mario Kart Wii,
right.
but it's taking the best elements of that new kind of school of Mario Kart music and kind of finding a way to still make it interesting.
Think, to be fair, the performances and the instruments, you know, they can't be discounted in that. I think if you heard yep. this with some of the same instruments mm-hmm. and settings from the older games, you might not think a lot of it. I think part of it is its presentation, and hearing something on a trumpet is a lot different from hearing it on sort of a farty, warbly right. synthesizer.
Or an electric guitar, for that matter, too. And one thing that's so cool is, there are moments of soloing and slight improvisation here and there in the soundtrack, but 99% of the time, the lines that these players
Very
are playing
composed.
Are composed. And that's definitely the case for that beautiful bridge section that solo electric guitar player is playing. Obviously, it's a composed line, you know, by Yasuaki Owada. So that's so wonderful. Great start to the episode. Now we're going to move on to a wonderful track. Oh, this, I got to say, kind of the start of this episode, the first like 5 or 6 tracks are just so killer. We're now going to move on to Water Park, and this one was composed by Shiho Fuji. Here we go. That's how you do it. That is Water Park, composed by Shiho Fuji from Mario Kart 8, which came out for the Wii U in 2014. This is a wonderful track. It's very tropical, very lively, very jazzy, and just absolutely just so much fun. It's just
a blast. What jumps out to me is that I feel like it's embracing, I guess I'd say, sort of cliches or staples of music in the Super Mario series, but kind of enriching it with this really high octane sense of party and fun. You know, the melody is so much more notey and busy than a lot of the Mario melodies that I think it's inspired by. And it's done up with, you know, this sort of intense orchestration that's just kind of hitting you every second with a sort of very powerful, saturated musical effect.
You know what this reminds me of, this particular track? This kind of reminds me of some of the Mario Party music, especially the first one for the 64 by Yasunori Mitsuda. Some of that music has a similar level of cartoony, tropical compositional style.
I really hear Shiho Fuji's style, and Shiho Fuji is a composer where, you know, sometimes I'm really loving the music, and other times I do think some of the attributes that I mentioned in this track can be sort of a detriment, particularly in some of like the new Super Mario Brothers games.
Sure.
But this is an example where I feel like her type of composition really is integrated nicely with the tone of the game. You know, Mario Kart is a time where you can have sort of unabashed fun. It doesn't need to be subtle.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys will see as we go on, Shiho Fuji was responsible for some of the better themes in this game. And I will say that, in my opinion, this might be her strongest game to date.
Yeah, and she did
especially some, because we know which tracks she did.
She did some pretty good work in some of the new Super Mario Brothers games. Like, I know there's an underwater theme from New Super Mario Brothers Wii that she composed that I think is really lovely.
And then obviously, you know, did some good work for Skyward Sword. So definitely a name, because, you know, she's fairly young. I would imagine she's in her maybe 30s. So she's definitely someone that I'm very curious and kind of excited to see where she goes. Is she eventually going to establish her own identity? Because so far, I feel like she's always working with all these composers.
Right.
I don't know if, I actually don't know of a solo Fuji soundtrack.
Yeah, I know she's worked with Asuka Ota and Kenta Nagata. She worked with on New Super Mario Brothers. She's worked with Ryu Nagamatsu.
And it's worth noting that Kenta was involved in this project as well. You know, he could have been one of the people that was really trying to kind of make the quality, you know, to a certain level. You know, it's hard to say because he actually has been involved in almost every Mario Kart game since 64, which I didn't know that.
Right.
At least the past couple he had been involved with. And the thing is, I don't know how much.
Right.
Was he just arranging or was he composing? It's really hard to say. But for this soundtrack, we have, because of the official release, we have it broken down. So wonderful, wonderful. Now we're going to move on to another Shiho Fuji track. This is Sweet Sweet Canyon.
Listening to Sweet Sweet Canyon, composed by Shiho Fuji. I really like this track. I love how kind of sweet and cute it is. Juxtaposed with the last track we played with the big kind of brash instrumentation, here, you know, she really goes for such a cute aesthetic, and I think this, in my opinion, complements sort of her melodic quirks a little bit better, because I just love how sweet this piece is. And it's very enthusiastic. And like I mentioned before, it's incredibly kind of notey and moving very quickly. But I love all the different instrument choices. And Carl, you made a good point when we were listening to it, that even though this is mostly virtual instruments
mostly
and synthesizers, you know, you do get a little of that real performance. performance with violin. That fiddle.
Yeah, and I do know that that was a moment I remember playing this track, and you know, again, but still, even if this was one of the weaker tracks, which it's not, it's still also good. So I definitely wasn't thinking like, oh, this is bad, but I was a little bit like, okay, so we're getting some MIDI stuff. But then all of a sudden that violin comes in, and it was such a cool moment because I realized that, you know what, as much as possible, they're going to try to keep some level of consistency right. with performance and with tone. And I think that is very important because I will say that if this track was only virtual instruments, yeah. even though I do like the track, it would feel a little tiresome.
And it has nothing to do with her composition. It just has to do with kind of how much musical mm-hmm. information is hitting you every second. With a lot of these melodies, I feel like there's an amazing melody that's much simpler that's hidden underneath. Like if you just look at ornamentations.
Very note-y melodies.
Da, 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 da. Right. I think that's beautiful, but I think when you add it, it just gets a little notey.
But again,
it's perfect for Mario Kart, but in like an actual Mario game, it might be a little bit too much.
In some ways, it's perfect for Mario Kart, but I don't think your other melody wouldn't have been perfect either.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? For whatever reason, it has been established with these composers or the people at Nintendo that's the Mario Kart sound. And
right.
it wasn't always the case that it was
I
that
think that's
notey.
True. I guess I'm happy that at least there's really good compositional thinking that's happening underneath the hood.
Right.
And I think I look at this as hopefully a step towards the more traditional mm-hmm. Mario Kart soundtracks that we used to get back on the N64 and SNES.
Now we're going to move on to yet another Shiho Fuji track. This is one of my favorites in the soundtrack. This is Toad Harbor. That's a wonderful track. Super cute. You guys are listening to Toad Harbor from the pretty cute composer Shiho Fuji. I'm just looking at some pictures of her right now. She's kind of cute.
You are such a creep.
No. I'm just saying this track, similar to Sweet Sweet Canyon, there's a cuteness to it. There really is something very sweet about it. But what I like about it is it's
sweet like a canyon.
It's not sweet
canyon.
It's not to the point where sometimes that kind of cute Nintendo style can get a little bit like tiresome.
Saccharine.
Yeah, and that's not the case with this track. This track is a little more simple. It's a little bit more authentic. Something about it really feels like almost, especially that the tone of that guitar, it reminds me of like 70s American pop music. I don't know what it is.
Well,
but
I also love
cool.
some of the jazzy modulations and tonicizations that happen throughout it that don't feel like this kind of genre of American
music. Yeah, this is a track that kind of establishes a little bit of its own identity mm-hmm. within the soundtrack. It doesn't really sound like any other track.
I feel like instrument-wise, it really is kind of perfect. I think this was sort of an influence. You know, we made that track Surfing at Sunset that we showed off a few weeks ago that we kind of thought is sort of like a modern day Mario Kart sounding type of piece. And I think a track like this helps to sort of make that assertion because just the instrument choices here are very comfortable with the overall tone of this game. And I think they kind of support a melody like that in a way that you just wouldn't get in any other Mario Kart game, which I think it's stuff like that I really appreciate about this whole soundtrack.
Yeah, it's worth noting that. I mean, I'm sure you guys know this, but Mario Kart 8 is actually the fastest selling Wii U game so far. Apparently within the first 4 hours, it sold 1.2 million and 2.82 million just in the first month. So it's a very well-received, well-selling.
I'm surprised it did better than Smash Brothers. I'm sure Smash Brothers kind of split the market because they had the 3DS version and the Wii U version.
You know, it could have actually, because didn't Smash come after this game?
Yeah.
So I think as of this game's released, it was the fastest.
Ah, that
but
makes
I'm
sense.
Sure Smash broke that, smashed that record, if you will.
Yeah.
Wonderful track. Now we're going to move on to a remix, and this was arranged by Yasuaki Iwata. Obviously, this one was composed by the wonderful Soyo Oka. This is SNES Donut Plains 3.
I love this remix.
Here we go. Gotta bring that whistle back. That is nostalgic. I love that. I love when they do that in these Nintendo remixes where they do something to kind of wink at the listener or the fan of the track. It's so cool. This is actually an example where this remix made me appreciate the song even more because I guess I liked the original, but it definitely was not one of my favorites.
Oh, really?
The soundtrack, for whatever reason, it was fine, but I was a bigger fan of other tracks in the soundtrack. But this was one where once I heard this remix, I realized just how wonderful this track is.
I love this track. It's funny. This, I feel like, has always been one of my favorites. Just the chords and everything of it are just really emotional. More emotional than almost any video game level theme. It's like the type of thing harmonically that I feel like we get in credits music a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what I love about Super Mario Kart. It's very unconventional, just as far as the emotions that are conveyed by the music. And I think sometimes it can be a little bit quirky or strange or potentially mismatched with the game. And I just don't realize that because I'm so in love with the entire soundtrack. But it's so fun to hear all that music lovingly rearranged for Mario Kart 8. And you get some nice, subtle, real performances in this track. You can tell whoever was responsible for sort of remixing this had nothing but reverence for the source
absolutely.
Material.
And yeah, and again, it made me appreciate the original track even more. I will say that going into it, probably my favorite tracks from the original were probably the Koopa Beach.
Yeah,
the Vanilla Lake is great, and the Mario Circuit is really,
I mean, I probably agree with you. I also love this one as well.
This one's good. Yeah, well, cool. That's cool to feature a remix. Now we're going to move on to an original track again by Shiho Fuji. This one is Twisted Mansion.
Listening to Twisted Mansion, composed by Shiho Fuji. I really love this one. I like that our first introduction to the melody is with that, it's trying to sound like a theremin.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so great. It perfectly sets the tone because I think the melody is composed in such a wonderful way. It hits all those little points of chromaticism that make it feel sort of cliche horror music, but with the use of that theremin, it really lets you know that the music is winking at you. You know, it is not taking it seriously. It feels like a fun sort of theme park ride, which is what's great about Mario Kart music, is it's not taken as seriously.
Absolutely, but we've talked about this before, but there is something very impressive about this type of a humor in music, because the only way to achieve it is to actually compose something beautiful and something that is actually authentic to what it's going for. You know what I'm saying? If this was just kind of a throwaway melody, it actually wouldn't be that funny.
Right. I completely agree. And I think that's because the cliche that it's going for is not a type of music that's bad. It's just very
overused.
Broad. You know, yeah, it's very, I guess, overused. And we associate it with a time when maybe all of our storytelling aesthetics were a little bit less subtle. But really, mm-hmm. to authentically capture that sound, that style of music, it's not easy to do, and it requires a lot of compositional chops. So I sure. really praise Shiho Fuji on that composition.
Well, now we're going to move on to one of my favorites on the soundtrack, Sunshine Airport. Probably the first point in the game
great.
When I was actually noticeably like impressed by the music, I would say. And this is by one of the composers who probably had the most output on this soundtrack. This is Atsuko Asahi. Let's take a listen to Sunshine Airport. An all-star track right there. You guys are listening to Sunshine Airport by the very talented Atsuko Asahi. She did a great job with this track. I love the combination of that synth bass, which is so funky. I gotta really give props to the drummer. Later on, I'm gonna try to see if I can find some of the crediting of the performers here, and we'll talk about them. But drummer is so solid. Again, that beautiful violin, great combination of synth instruments and real instruments. The track is wonderful. It's played effortlessly. The production's really good.
Right.
It's just very impressive.
You know what? This is another sort of example of the music serving sort of a dual function, because it perfectly fits the level, but. That sort of excessive jazziness in the chord structure really kind of gives you that sort of comfortable, soothing elevator music quality that I think you might sort of associate
with
like
an airport.
If you have to associate a type of instrumental music with an airport, it would probably be some sort of public domain Muzak-y kind of thing.
Again, there's this level of awareness and like sense of humor that this particular Mario Kart soundtrack has that the others haven't had for a long time. Because for a while, it's been... Obviously, they haven't been taking him seriously.
Well,
that's
I think the
not
only humor you
question.
Could get is laughing at them because they're so
I
bad.
I guess, but yeah, exactly. Like, there hasn't been this sort of self-awareness where it's like, this is kind of, it's just kind of classy.
Yeah.
Something about it is just, I don't know, just kind of is in the pocket in a good way. So now we're going to move on to the first, I believe, DLC track of the day. I'm really excited to play this. It's an original track. It's called Dragon Driftway. And it was composed again by Atsuko Asahi. This is a really interesting track. Let's take a listen to Dragon Driftway. Wonderful track. This is one of the DLC pieces of music. It's called Dragon Driftway, and that's the name of the track, obviously, as well. This was composed by Atsuko Asahi, and yeah, this was not really based on any other series. It was included in the first pack the Zelda, I guess, DLC, but it's definitely not based on Zelda. It has kind of an ancient Chinese theme to the track itself. So yeah, it's just really wonderful as far as, you know, evoking that theme musically. It's really goofy. It's also very, very different from obviously any other track in the game because it has that particular theme. But again, they got back the real performers for this track, which I really commend Nintendo, because this could have been a track almost out of any where they didn't necessarily need all these real players, but to still have real drums and all those, you know, real bass and stuff, it's just super fun.
Well, and not to mention that beautiful bowed Japanese string instrument. That sort of, it really sounds like a voice. It has this sort of vocal quality to
it. It's perfect.
Really beautiful. Yeah, I think this composer was trying to capture sort of an ancient Chinese folk music quality to it, but it's just very
she
much
definitely nailed it.
And I think it's kind of cool because I think the track was sort of based around Zelda, but it's not an arrangement of any Zelda theme, and it's not really even trying to sound like Zelda. Mm-hmm. The other cool thing though is it doesn't really sound like the status quo for Mario Kart 8 either.
No.
You know, it has a very unique musical quality to it, which is A, super impressive for the game, and doubly impressive for the fact that this is just downloadable content.
Absolutely. It's really, really awesome. I love to hear that. All right, now we're going to move on to another track. We have this little pocket of Atsuko Asahi here in this particular soundtrack, which is great. This is a track in the original game, so not a DLC track. This is Dolphin Shoals. This is the above ground version. Now, some of these tracks have two different versions.
Because you go underwater.
Yeah, and the music will change. So this is above ground of Dolphin Shoals. That is a killer track. I'm really digging the bass, and obviously that sax solo is so well done. Yeah, let's kind of go through here, and we'll just give a couple of the things as we go. So the sax on this is Masokini Takino. He played the tenor sax on this. He also plays soprano and Barry in other tracks. And drums, it's either Satoshi Bando played on a lot of the tracks in the soundtrack, and also Hiroyuki Noritake also played drums. So those are the two drummers in the soundtrack. So we'll give some others as we go. But yeah, nice job,
this
gentlemen.
One is so much fun. I think this totally balances a little catchy melodic hook and a very soloistic sense of fun, freedom that shows off these performers' chops.
Yep, absolutely.
I think this track is perfect. It absolutely scores this track really well. And I think the important thing to mention is the context of this being the above ground version is that, if I remember correctly, the underground version doesn't have any of those solos. It has just more of a consistent melody.
Yeah,
so I think this helps to differentiate not just as far as the sound of the instruments, but musically too, the difference between above ground and underwater.
Yeah, later on we're going to get to a particular DLC track that is one of my favorites of the whole soundtrack, and it has a very interesting difference when you go, I think it's like in the subway versus out of the subway, and musically, and actually that version we're going to play is a medley which combines both, and I'm really excited to get to that because I really like when they do something completely different based on the different locations of the track. So even within one, and I know that gets confusing, I'm talking about racetrack in this context, so even within one racetrack you're able to hear like really two different pieces of music, and it's just something that obviously was never done back on the days of like the N64. So technology has finally gotten to a point where we can make even a Mario Kart game feel so much more immersive than ever before, which I think is awesome. So now we're going to move on to an awesome track by the wonderful Ryo Nagamatsu, the first track composed by him that we're playing today. He didn't do a lot of tracks in the soundtrack, but the ones he did are very good. So let's take a listen to Mount Wario. What a wonderful track. This is awesome. You guys are listening to Mount Wario from Mario Kart 8, composed by Ryo Nagamatsu.
I think the fun thing about both this track as a racetrack and as a piece of music is that it doesn't really loop back very quickly, and it's fitting because in the actual race, this is a very clever stage because even though there are three laps, instead of just repeating in a circle, the entire track is one long racetrack. So the laps are sort of just sections of this mountain. So it's really cool. You start off in this plane that drops you off, and the whole track is just descending down the side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool that the music, just it'll repeat small little fragments, but for the most part it's a pretty long loop that should last you until you get to the very end of the track, and it's timed out to sort of match along the different sections of the course.
Absolutely, yeah. This was another, probably the second moment, you know, obviously once I played it more and once I listened to the soundtrack, I was a fan of almost all the tracks, but playing the game for the first time, this was maybe the second moment where I was like very consciously wowed by the music. Not necessarily just how good the melodies are, I do think they're good, just what it was going for in the scope of this track, and the fact that there's so many sections that have these really complex like jazz arrangement and,
right,
you know, really utilizing the big band, which there's actually not a lot of tracks that utilize the big band.
Right.
You know, you might hear a sax or you might hear a violin or you might hear a trumpet, but to feature the full band and those kind of big stabs, there's actually not a lot of tracks that do that.
And the ones that do really go all out.
And they really impress you. And yeah, this was, and also this track is, I think, the best track.
Well,
in the
I think
game. The racetrack,
just,
don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's awesome if they...
Yeah, we have to say racetrack from now on.
Course, maybe we should
course.
Start
I think this is my favorite
level.
Course, I will say.
But I really think it's just a perfect economical use of their budget, because if they have to hire this big band, the best situation that they could do is have it for the title screen, have it for the end credits, have it on maybe a couple tracks, and then utilize some of those musicians as soloists and just have little pieces on each track.
Mm-hmm.
And that really gets you the most bang for your buck. It's much better than having, say, you know, four or five race tracks that have, you know, that utilize this entire big band and then have the rest of it just virtual instruments.
Absolutely.
It was a smart way of having sort of the key moments in the game that you remember using the full band and then having most of it just filled in with individual soloists.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. That's such a great point. In general, I just think like this is a moment in the game. The course and the music are all coming together to just feel, it feels like a moment that I've never experienced this in Mario Kart before. Right. It really felt like I'm playing a new, exciting right. Mario Kart
yeah,
game.
Yeah, they tried something like that in Mario Kart 7. There was a track yeah. called Woohoo Island, which was based awesome. Off of, like, I think Pilot Wings or Wii Sports Resort
wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And that was really cool because, you know, the whole course was just one long thing. Mm-hmm. But this, I felt like, amped it up another notch because you get sort of the dynamic of depth by going from top down on this giant mountain.
Well, I'm excited to move on to another DLC track, and this is from another series in Nintendo's world. This is Mute City, an arrangement obviously from F-Zero, so it's so fun that kind of this crossover between two Nintendo racers, and this arrangement is absolutely outstanding. This was handled by Ryo Nagamatsu. And the particularly what I enjoy is the use of saxophone. I wasn't necessarily expecting it as far as how it's interacting with the electric guitar, which is really what I was expecting only. It was only going to be this guitar thing. But the fact that the sax is used so heavily, I think is really cool.
It still needs to be Mario Kart.
Yep. So this is Mute City. Smokes, that's amazing. To have the intro this point in the song is so wonderful. How about that Castlevania chord progression that they went into? You know, if there's any track where you can really take liberties with the remix, it should be one of these crossover tracks everyone already knows this song.
Right.
So feel free to just take solos through the whole thing, right. Change the chord progression. It's just such a blast.
But you know what I love? I still get my Mute City fix.
I agree.
Get enough of that great melody, and I still get all the rocking textures with all the crazy blast beats and the double kick pedal. It's so much fun. And I really agree with you. The use of the saxophone is very tasteful and still helps to ground it in this soundtrack.
Yeah,
but
and
I love that sort of demonic classical chord progression that he takes the melody through.
Let's give another shout out here as far as the Mario Kart band. On electric guitar, we have Takashi Masuzaki, who just does a great job on this entire soundtrack. Also, Big Blue is a wonderful arrangement that he really right. shreds that too. We just played out with that last week, so we didn't include that today. That's why I did Mute City. In general, I think Mute City is maybe a little cooler. Mm-hmm. The arrangement is so surprising, and it just goes in so many cool places.
Who's the drummer on this track?
The drummer on this one is Satoshi Bando, who does a phenomenal job with those
awesome
fills.
Also, the way it's mic'd and everything is totally yeah. authentic for the sound that it's going for.
Killer fills there. That's so fun. That's really great. All right, now we're going to move on to this week's Track of the Week. Really cool track. This is Cloud Top Cruise, which is orchestral, so it's definitely a change of pace within the soundtrack. I believe it was recorded in the same way that the rest of the soundtrack was, you know, because they already had violin players, they had oboe and flute and horns, and they already had all these players, so I'm pretty sure they probably just kind of maybe recorded it in a similar way and just kind of made their own orchestra. I don't think they got, like, an additional full orchestra for this one track. But in any case, it's a cool change of pace. It feels more like Galaxy, not surprising. It's just a wonderful track. It's composed by Atsuko Asahi. Let's take a listen to Cloud Top Cruise. Thank you. That's a blast. Obviously, they hinted at the Gusty Garden theme, which obviously is from Mario Galaxy. What's interesting listening to it this time is we kind of realized that actually most of this track is actually sequenced. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. You know, obviously they weren't going to hire an orchestra for one track. But the fact that they did that, when I'm playing the game, I didn't notice that. And it was a really surprising moment. And I love when you can use musical genre to surprise the player. And I think for most people, it's going to be more of a subliminal thing. I don't think the average player is going to be like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this orchestra. They're just going to be right. Like, wow, this is a cool track.
Well,
you know?
Again, it's composers that sort of follow the idea that I am servicing this game. I'm servicing the project that I'm working on.
And you're servicing this course.
Yeah, it's not about my own ideas of what I can do musically.
Well, how can you make this course as exciting as possible?
Right.
You know?
And well, this and is one it's, way. The way that they found themselves in was so clever because they sort of piggybacked off of a small arrangement of the Gusty Garden Galaxy mm-hmm. theme from Super Mario Galaxy, which still makes it Mario, and it's a great way. And also, as far as utilizing those orchestra samples, they kind of it takes a little while for you to realize it's fake because they're doing some techniques that you almost never hear with synthesized orchestra music. For example, those sort of quick ornaments, the dan 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 dan. Oftentimes, a lot of virtual instrument sound banks will come with pre-recorded little ornaments like mm-hmm. that. So for like the flutes or for the strings, you could actually cue up a sample of a player just doing sure. you know, one or two notes. So that's how it makes it sound real for a while. But it's very clever stuff.
Yeah, and there is some real elements. Like I do think that solo trumpet is real too. So they're able to mask it really well. Cool, now we're going to move on to a pretty badass track. This is Bowser's Castle, once again composed by Atsuko Asahi. Enjoy. That is so cool. You guys are listening to Bowser's Castle. This one very heavily features Takashi Masazaki on the electric guitar. This is composed by Atsuko Asahi and really taking its cues from the kind of the Bowser vocabulary that was established in Mario 3D World.
Right.
You know, as far as the musical style and the tone that that game established.
Allowing sort of a demonic big band swankiness for Bowser as opposed to sort of like a organy.
Yeah, but also rock too, like right. Actual rock. For the first time, we were hearing like real electric guitar in a Mario game.
Yeah, I feel like that it made Bowser's music start to sound more like what I think of being like Dr. Robotnik.
Which, very similar characters in a lot of ways. Larger than life, kind of over the top cartoon bad guys.
I think Bowser's way better than Robotnik.
Oh, yeah. Robotnik's not really fleshed. I mean, not that Bowser's super fleshed out, but he's more fleshed out than Robotnik. Like,
yeah. I mean, he's a freaking dragon Koopa with a spiky back. And maybe I just have a resonance with Bowser after Fireflower.
Yeah, you did play the, what was it, Browser?
Browser. Marty's so clever with his names.
Spoiler alert, anyone. Cool. Well, now we're going to move on to Rainbow Road, the original Rainbow Road composed for Mario Kart 8 by Shiho Fuji. She did a great job on this. Let's take a listen to this track.
We'll be right back.
modulation there. You guys are listening to Rainbow Road from Mario Kart 8, composed by Shiho Fuji. Brand new piece of music from this game, released in 2014. This is very well done, definitely matches the tone of the chorus perfectly. When you're playing the game, the music, it doesn't get in the way. It makes it feel exciting. Personally, if I want to be a little critical, though, because, you know, we've been, you know, praising this soundtrack, which is not surprising because we chose this episode. Wonderful soundtrack. Let's be a little critical on this track. I don't think it's nearly as good as the 64 Rainbow Road, which I think is interesting because it's way more complex and it's really trying very hard. But the simplicity and the beauty of that N64 Kenta Nagata melody really can't be topped, and I don't think this tops or comes close to topping
that. Oh, no, no, definitely not. I mean, I think the thing I like about it is it's not really trying to do that, where I think a lot of the Rainbow Roads will include pieces of that melody and go in a new direction, or really use the 64, I guess the Super Mario Kart melodies as a template. Really, every Mario Kart
yeah,
game
I will agree
until this
with you
has
that
tried
not,
to make the Rainbow Road some type of remix.
It's not trying to be the N64 Rainbow Road, but I definitely get the sense that, I don't know, it's just a very complex track that has a lot going on, so it definitely feels like
I prefer the other ones.
It was trying to be really, really awesome, and it's definitely good, and it fits perfectly.
Right.
And again, well,
and
just,
it's a different kind of Rainbow Road. This one is more of sort of a technological space station. So I think they were really going for something different with the racetrack as well as the music track.
Yeah, every now and then it's kind of fun to kind of think about some of these tracks critically, because one thing someone could, you know, accuse us of is just overly kind of praising every track that we play. We do pick great music to be on the podcast, but every once in a while it's kind of nice to be a little more critical of some of the tracks. And this is one where, you know, when I'm honest, like, it's a good track, but Rainbow Road, living up to that legacy, you know, it's really tough to do that. Now we're going to move on to another DLC track, and this is a cool remix. This is Hyrule Circuit, which remixes the what does this remix, Will?
Star Wars?
This remix is the main Legend of Zelda theme, and this remix was handled by Atsuko Asahi. This is wonderful, and anytime that main theme features a solo trumpet, it's so great because that is exactly the instrument you want to play that melody. So let's take a listen to Hyrule Circuit. That's a wonderful Zelda medley, which really kind of, in a smart way, incorporates that Zelda's lullaby theme. Just very, very subtle and very classy, tasteful. In general, this soundtrack, is something about it is so classy, in my opinion. Again, you know, great guitar, great trumpet. The trumpet player on this track is Luis Valle, so he did a great job. Very beautiful tone. You know, switching it over to the electric guitar, they do make some changes to the melody and to the chord progression.
There's that one note that goes a little too high that it just really irks me.
Also,
and other than
that's
that,
done,
I think it's great.
It's done in a lot of remixes. I feel like I can think of like 3 or 4 remixes where they change those notes.
I hate stuff like that. I don't know. There's certain melodies. For some reason, it was F-Zero. Like,
talk
it wasn't
about
bothering.
Being critical, Will.
For some reason, F-Zero wasn't bothering me, but I detest when you take an amazing melody and like change it around for no reason other than to be different. If you solo over it, that's one thing. But I think just changing a note in the melody, it's like he chose the right note. Like,
well,
that
they were
melody
changing,
is good.
But see, they were changing the chords too. Yeah, I think the thing is, like, it's one thing to do that in F-Zero, but Koji is your favorite composer and one of your favorite series and favorite melodies ever. So it's like,
but
to do it,
I mean,
on
dude,
that.
I love F-Zero as well. It's not like I'm just picking favorites. I think this is one of the most important video game melodies. And so I think there's just sort of a different context there. For the most part, I love the arrangement, but it's just a personal thing with me. I hate when remixes of, you know, flawless melodies kind of got a monkey with it.
Sure, sure. Well, now, just before we move on, I just want to give one more shout out to the Mario Kart band. The bass player for the soundtrack, who did a wonderful job, is Tepe Kawasaki. So really, really nice job on the bass on the soundtrack. Now we're going to move on to another. We have a little pocket here of DLC music. This is another DLC track. This is a really interesting track called Wild Woods, composed by Atsuko Asahi. Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. Late in the playlist, we have really another strong contender for track of the week. A wonderful track. This is Wild Woods, a DLC track, a completely original course and piece of music, not based on anything else. I think it has Shy Guys, if I'm not mistaken, and Toads in the course itself. But yeah, I gotta say, Atsuko Asahi is the all-star of this soundtrack. Let's just go through quickly her contributions. She did the title screen, probably the coolest piece of music in the whole soundtrack. She also did Sunshine Airport, Dragon Driftway, Dolphin Shoals, Cloud Top Cruise, which is our track of the week, Bowser's Castle, Hyrule Circuit, Wild Woods. In the next track we're going to play, which is, again, one of my favorites, she is a monster. She's great.
The choice for this track, there's so many things I'm in love with. I think the melody perfectly captures that sound of like a mystery forest that Nintendo composers seem to really have a knack for. But also the choice of the oboe for sort of one of the solo instruments that is brilliant, because the oboe has that kind of double reed wooden mystery quality to it inherently. Like, its timbre goes hand in hand with sort of a forest, which I think is just, it's such an intuitive decision, but it works so well, and it's something that we haven't heard at all in the soundtrack, a solo oboe. I mean, there's not a lot of solo symphonic instruments. There's a lot of solo sax.
It's a wonderful performance. It's a wonderful recording. Will, would you be curious to know who played oboe on that track at all?
Sure.
The oboe player,
George Gershwin.
The oboe player on that track is Takayuki Mogami. So again, wonderful.
I'm sorry that that name doesn't ring a bell.
Well, now we're going to move on to
unless Koji Kondo gets up and plays oboe himself.
Oh, that would be cool. The last contribution of the day from the wonderful Atsuko Asahi. One of my favorite tracks. I've been so excited, particularly for this track, to share this. It's a DLC track. It's called Super Bell Subway, and this is a medley. It starts off with the normal version, and then I believe when you go into the subway, it changes into this really funky kind of version. So it's that medley. Let's take a listen to Super Bell Subway. my gosh, this is so right up my alley. When it gets to funk with the slap bass and the really fast kind of complex linear drum kit playing.
Well, and then the bass part is the Super Mario Brothers Underground.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think what happens is this is what you hear when you're watching the highlight reel, apparently, of this track. But again, this is another original track. I don't think this is Animal Crossing inspired as far as the chorus itself, but oh my gosh, this is a fun track. Yeah, really, the moments in the soundtrack that get the most out there are really always from Atsuko Asahi. Those triplets are so cool.
She's the most daring. I don't know anything about her. I've never heard her name in any other Nintendo.
I
want to
see.
I have absolutely no idea who she is.
I want to see her, what she does in the future.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they like hired her for this project. You know,
Could have been.
She just has so many chops for different types of music. But a very specific sort of daring, ballsy approach to scoring this stuff.
I think so, too.
She must have experience with arranging stuff for big bands or writing music like this.
Yeah, here are the only credits she has on VGMDB, which, by the way, is a great resource for anyone who's really interested in composers and crediting. VGMDB.net is a wonderful resource. The only credits she has is in 2013, she arranged Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD. She did some arrangement for that. And this is the only game she's ever been credited for composing.
Huh, interesting.
So, a newcomer for sure. I can't wait to see what else she
Maybe
does.
She wasn't in the video game world. Maybe she was like a local artist in Japan or something, or did movies or something.
We'll
and
to,
they hired her for this
we'll
reason.
She does have a Twitter account, but I don't...
Luckily, it's all in Japanese.
Yes, I don't really speak Japanese, so... There's some, it looks like there's something of a dog on here, flowers.
You can see what she
Oh,
drinks.
There's a minion. There's a picture of a minion on here. Okay.
I think those
a
are
cupcake.
Her... Okay.
Okay. That's probably enough. All right, guys, now we're going to move on to the last track we'll talk about. This is the N64 Rainbow Road. So I included that as well because, you know, I was talking so much about it. And this is a wonderful arrangement. Probably my favorite remix in the game. This one was handled by Ryo Nagamatsu, so let's take a listen to the N64 Rainbow Road. Such a wonderful arrangement. Again, I'm a really big fan of the instrumentation, how faithful they are to this melody composed by Kenta Nagata.
You know, I love that.
Yeah, you really appreciate that, and I appreciate it too. This is probably my favorite arrangement, but really a fitting last track to play for the day other than our playout track. This was arranged by Ryo Nagamatsu. Once again, let's just kind of give all a collective hand to these composers who came together and made
arrangers.
Something so special in the world of Mario Kart, something that was really long overdue.
Yeah. I really, I think that whether it is us or any fans of this series who've been sort of making a cry for better music mm-hmm. in these games, and it's not just to be, you know, unfair, but it's just because the quality of these Mario Kart games has been getting better and better. And
yes.
The music needs to reflect it, and now it does,
and
I think
I'm
that's
really
great.
Glad. It feels really good to have a spotlight episode on the most recent Mario Kart soundtrack, because if you would have told me that 2 years ago, that we were going to be doing this.
You thought it would be for April Fool's.
Absolutely. So the fact that now we can kind of sigh a little bit and have some relief, because honestly, there may have been some people that would have disagreed with us a few years ago. Like, guys, why are you bashing the Mario Kart so much? But now I really dare those people, okay, take this soundtrack and compare it to Mario Kart 7 and let me know what you think, because really, there's just a substantial increase in quality.
I think the worst pieces on the soundtrack are arrangements of
the
things
seven
from
stuff,
Mario Kart Wii, Mario Kart 7, you know.
And there's a limit to what they can do with that stuff.
Yeah.
They almost would be better off to just make new tracks for it.
Like. I mean, there's no way they were going to do that. But yeah, this was such a treat. I'm so glad that this game exists. Mm-hmm. And I'm continually impressed by the score and by the music. I can't wait to see what some of these composers do in the future.
Yeah, guys, we really have to give one final shout out. Stick around for the entire playout track. It's the staff credits of Mario Kart 8, and it's such a joy. There's some really great soloing and really cool ideas. This was, again, composed by Ryo Nagamatsu, so he did a great job with the staff credits. We're going to play you out with that. We're actually going to be back with you on Thursday this week. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. And once again, you can follow us on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and on our YouTube channel. Our Twitter handle is @MarcatoBros, and you can find every episode of this show along with all of our original music at supermarcatobros.com. Thanks again for joining us today, everybody. Have an amazing week.
Peace out.